Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by our friends over at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. I'm Rock Onushi as we go to the hotline and welcome in longtime sportscaster JT John Telich. As the Browns sit at 1-5, they'll be coming back home this Sunday to take on those Cincinnati Bengals, who sit at just 2-4, so they're not really doing a whole lot better down at the southern end of the state. But JT, as always, a pleasure to be joined by you here, my friend. And I guess we can start with this Amari Cooper trade that went down. Yeah. I'm sure all of our listeners well aware of that happening by now. Earlier this week, the Browns sending Amari Cooper to Buffalo. Some draft picks involved on either side of that trade. So, JT, I think for a lot of people, this maybe signals a white flag of sorts on the season, sending Amari Cooper out of here. It wasn't his best season in Cleveland by any stretch. He was not looking as sharp as he was last year, but what did we make of this trade earlier this week, JT?
Well, I think as evidenced by, it seemed like such a lack of chemistry between he and Deshaun, and then Cooper uncharacteristically having the butterfingers hit him this year, which is just so not like him, and the fact that his contract was ending this year. It was proactive with a 1-5 record. I get it. And I understand a guy that they picked up for a fifth-round pick, they're able to turn that around. They need assets now because I think we're not at that point where it's white flag totally, but we could be coming to that point. And you know what the one aspect of the Browns' arsenal that's missing is draft picks. And so that's my contention of one of the big reasons why they did it. You know, they finagled his contract before the season, so it was very easy for Buffalo. Probably Buffalo said, okay, you know, we're not going to have to pay much for him the rest of this year. It's only $806,000 because how they finagled that money. Now there's $22 million of dead cap money for the Browns next year because of this. So I think the one thing Andrew Berry did well in this regard was kind of get ahead of the curve. I think if he waited towards the deadline, you might have had more receivers open to be moved, and maybe you don't get that third-round pick for him. So that's my interpretation of him. Just I never saw some chemistry between those two guys, and we all saw him flourish a year ago when someone other than Deshaun Watson was throwing the football to the Browns receivers. It was either DTR, it was the other backup, and then, of course, it was during the Flacco run when Joe and Amari had such great chemistry. So that's my interpretation of what they did. It's not necessarily white flagging it, fire sailing it, but, you know, it's an indication that it could go that way as we head towards the deadline.
And you mentioned Deshaun Watson. Obviously, the chemistry, as you alluded to, JT, is just simply not there between him and Amari Cooper. And it's interesting to me, obviously, Deshaun, we are well aware, as we've discussed, his play is hurting them. It's killing them on the field right now. And you're seeing some disgruntled comments from some outsiders around, you know, the Browns. A couple of former players, Mitchell Schwartz, I believe, took to X or Twitter earlier this week talking about, hey, sticking with this guy, it's not fair to other guys in the locker room. I think we maybe saw some of that disgruntlement come to a head with the Amari Cooper trade. JT, how much do you believe in that? How much do you believe in the fact that just the fact that Deshaun is staying out there as the starting quarterback? I mean, are they losing the locker room now because of that too?
Absolutely a possibility of that going that way. If people outside of the building have that kind of an interpretation and for how he has played subpar played football this year, and for Kevin to come out and say he gives the Browns the best chance to win, it just, you know, the biggest, the 800-pound gorilla in the room here, Rocco, is that contract. And it's, you know, it's just something that you can't easily get out of. $230 million guaranteed. The minute they signed that deal, it was being bandied about as potentially one of the, you know, worst contracts or moves that could be made. And Deshaun has kind of compounded that and made it come to life and to truth by playing so horribly. Now, I know it's a team game. There's 11 out on the field together, so I can't totally say it's all Deshaun Watson. Guys are dropping passes. We had the horrific, you know, false start penalties on a clutch play, a very crucial part of the game last week against Philadelphia that killed them as well. So it's been a collective back a step, if you will, for how good they played a year ago. And the defense can't be let off the hook as well, because they have, you know, given up, plays like Devontae Smith, that long play that he had. Breakdowns still are happening for them. But Deshaun's play is just, it's not indicative of what we saw in Houston. And, you know, I've gone back and looked at a lot of video of him back in those first couple of years, and his decision-making now just doesn't seem to be on par with what we saw back then. But I'm not seeing the same explosive athlete either. And he's lost a step, a few things. Obviously, being out of the game maybe hurt that, but he just doesn't have the instincts and certainly isn't processing. I was joking, you know, if Tom Brady was a iMac in terms of being able to process computer-wise, or if Tom Brady was Starlink to be able to process defenses, well, then Deshaun this year has been like dial-up, and he's just not making the right reads, and then obviously he's not throwing the ball for the most part. Well, you know, there's a million stats here. I don't want to bore the listeners, but since the year of like 2007 in the league, his QBR rating is like, of all the quarterbacks that have played, it's like third or fourth from the bottom. And that's like more than 600 instances of quarterbacks playing in the NFL since 2007. Wow. It's like historically bad. And he aside from that second half against the Ravens a year ago, when he was magnificent and brought them to the victory, his QBR rating a year ago is like twice of what it is this year. And last year it was, kind of okay, except for that one, the second half against the Ravens where he was great. And then this year it's half as good or twice as bad, let's put it that way, and it's just been historically bad. I just don't know how you climb out of this once proud franchise having to deal with this. And, you know, everything we do in life is based on decisions, and the Browns made the decision to go for this guy knowing the baggage that came with it and that it would be guarantee that he'd regain the form that he had in Houston, and he's far from what he was in Houston.
Well, you mentioned dial-up, and I think people wince when they hear that dial-up noise get played these days. That's the same reaction I think a lot of people have when they see number four trot out there as starting quarterback each and every Sunday. Just, not quite doing it. As again, we're talking Browns football on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. I'm Rock Anucci. He's John Telich. And JT, do you want to talk about this Bengals game? But the schedule as a whole, I mean, this was again supposed to be the quote unquote easier part of the schedule, and here they sit 1-5. Just in terms of trying to build some confidence moving forward, it can't start there with the schedule, because again, it just gets tougher from here.
It really does. And the weirdest part about the first six games, if you were to look at some of the defenses that they faced in games 1-6, that would have been the time for them offensively to really show that they can be multifaceted and score a lot. They didn't do any of that. And, of course, a good chunk of the blame, you could say, is on the trigger man himself, Deshaun Watson. And so now they're going into divisional play, playing real good defenses, i.e. the Ravens, i.e. the Steelers. Of course, there'll be two matchups with each of those teams. They have the Bengals this week. So he's put up historically bad numbers. The offense has been so abysmal against some defenses that they really should have been productive against. And that's why it's all the more glaring as you head into this Sunday. But, you know, Batman's coming. And so, you know, I'm so excited to see number 24 back with the Browns.
So what do we make of this Sunday? You get Nick Chubb back into the fold, into the equation. Maybe that kind of staves off some of the boo birds that we could see raining down, depending on how things happen. I mean, even outside of just the game itself, I think the crowd will certainly be something to keep an eye on or keep an ear out for, however you want to phrase that. But this is a Bengals team that, I mean, they're 2-4. They were a bad game against the Giants away from being right where the Browns are at 1-5. What's up with them this year, JT, and can the Browns find a way to maybe knock them off on Sunday?
Well, they had a couple of turnovers on Sunday. You know, they only put up 17 points against the Giants. I think the final was 17-7 in that game this past weekend. And we know the history that Joe Burrow has against the Browns, and it's not been that great for him. Having said all of that, I just can't go with the Browns in this game. I know they're home. I know that they have, you know, the fans are going to want to see Nick Chubb. I'm not sure how much Nick will play. I don't know. I'm sure they'll keep that close to the vest, and certainly it all hinges on how well he feels in pregame and leading up to it, practices this week and what have you. But, you know, the Bengals, they have a quarterback, and you know, their defense has been known to be stifling at times, but for the most part, if I'm looking at this week's game, I'm seeing the home team having a tough time picking up a victory. So if we're going to throw numbers out here, Rocco, let's go 24-20, the Bengals over the Browns.
All right, so JT going with a Bengals W. Again, like I said last week, I don't know how many people are in a position to necessarily disagree with that right now until the Brownies can prove us otherwise, but we'll see what happens. It's a struggling Bengals team. Like you said, JT, Burrow's never really looked sharp against the Brownies, so we'll see what Cleveland can do this Sunday. Again, Browns, Bengals, 1 o'clock this Sunday. Browns finally back home there in downtown Cleveland. So there's the Browns portion of this week's Budweiser's from the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. We got to bug JT for just a couple more minutes and talk some high school football, because we got a heck of a week 9 coming up. It was an awesome week 8, a number of really great games, but week 9 looking promising as well. I know two of our games that we carry of the 3 should be really, really good, and Bedford at Lorraine should be good as well, but Avon Lake visits North Ridgeville. That's our radio and stream 1 game, both teams with just one loss in the SWC, so we'll see who comes out on top there. And then how about this, JT, our Medina County matchup on Stream 3, a battle of 7-1s in that new Cleveland West Conference. Rocky River visits Buckeye, where the winner gets at least a share of the inaugural conference title in that Cleveland West Conference. So all in all, a tremendous slate for Week 9.
Yeah, there is a lot to look forward to this week, Rocco, and so many teams are still playing great football. I know last week I went through the list of all the teams that were 7-0, and this week it's Avon, Mentor, Walsh, Wadsworth, Highland, Kirtland, Aurora, Lake Catholic, Streetsboro, Gilmore. Now, Clearview was undefeated up until last weekend. Columbia did get their number. So Clearview does have their first, sustain their first loss of the year. But there's some good matchups. Here's some of the ones to look forward to this week. Mentor takes on Strongsville. Walsh just having a fantastic year, and I know you love that. They will face the Brush Arcs. That should be, you know, a relatively easy-ish kind of a game for them. Yeah. Holman has a team in York, Pennsylvania. Glenville's still playing the Senate League, so they'll be playing John Marshall. St. Edward, this will give us kind of a barometer for how they're matching up with some folks downstate, but they'll be traveling down to Cincinnati, and they will take on Cincinnati Moeller. Wadsworth unbeaten, taking on Solon. Highland against Cuyahoga Falls. Highland is yet to lose this year. I don't see Kirtland having a difficult time against Crestwood. Kirtland still undefeated, even though their young quarterback, Jake Laverty, is out for the season. Perry will play West G. You did mention North Ridgeville and Avon. Lake Catholic undefeated as we sit here today. They take on Canton Central Catholic. And Villa Angela St. Joe's, I was at their game last week at Cutbroad Field. That was my first game of the night of the two that I cover. Mm-hmm. And they had a real tight game with Youngstown Ursuline. Ursuline did beat them by a few points, but that was a very good matchup. So it was fun to see that. And I think I've said before, the Cutbroad Field on the shores of Lake Erie is one of the most spectacular places to see a high school football game, even though there's you know, maybe room for only like 1,000 to 1,200 people around the football field. But it's really amazing with the sunsets and things of that nature. Chardon takes on East Lake North and Olmsted Falls and Berea. So those are some of the matchups this week. We're getting close to the playoffs. Of course, when you get into the playoffs, you still have to win six games in order to win it all.
Yes, you do, as many head coaches have pointed out in our talks with them. Two quick notes before I let you go, JT. One, obviously we have to play week nine first, but Highland and Aurora setting up for what should be a really, really, and I mean really good week 10 matchup. Again, some weight could potentially be taken off of that depending on what happens here in week nine, but I think that's setting up to be a really awesome week 10. And JT, I don't know how much you saw or heard about this from this past Friday night, but the Vermilion Sailors, they beat Huron for the first time, JT, check this, since 1966. It was the first time the Sailors had beaten Huron. Their head coach texted me because I did the play-by-play with Ron Yance, and you know, I'm getting my pregame notes together, and Bill DiFucci, head coach of the Sailors, texts me and says, hey, we haven't beaten them since 1966. I thought it was a typo. I thought he meant 1996, so I'm on the field getting information beforehand. I'm like, hey, you know, this text, he really meant 1996, right? No, 1966, the last time Vermilion had beaten Huron, and they did so by a field goal this past Friday night. I just thought that was tremendous.
Well, that, if you're calling a game where it comes down to that field goal, that just makes it all the more exciting, especially as a broadcaster. So must have been a real nice treat as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, and it was quite the scene over there in Vermilion. They got the win or trophy or whatever they call it that gets passed between the two schools. I love that kind of stuff, especially at the high school level. So there's a quick chat regarding our Week 9 high school football slate. Again, make sure you check out our three games. Plenty of other action to check out around Northern and Northeast Ohio as well. So JT, as always, thank you for the time, my friend. I greatly appreciate it. We'll see how those Brownies do on Sunday, and we'll break it all down next week.
Looking forward to it, and good luck to the Guardians as we sit here today. Are down two games to none, so they've got a rebound back at the Progressive Field. But thanks for the combo on football, and we'll talk to you guys next week.